Guns and the 701. Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good morning. How we doing?
I don't know whose bright idea it was to put me on video. You don't turn radio people into TV people. You don't necessarily pull that off, but...
Well, now that I know you can do it, we're going to have to try it with a regular Friday segment.
Well, yeah, we can do that. We can do that. We have the technology. So this one surprises me a little bit because it's Colorado that the assault weapon bill there is dead, although good rational reason to get it out of there no matter which side of the issue you're on.
Yeah, you know, Colorado's an interesting state. You know, it didn't used to be so blue, but a lot of Californians moved in there, you know, decades ago. So here we are.
Yeah, something's legal right over now, there that tends to change things, sort of.
What's that?
Something's legal over there that tends to change people's minds.
Yeah, just a little little smoke in the air, right? Anyway.
Although I got stuck there in a flight and... One being stuck there 2 days, and all I could think is, you know, if they just handed it out to people who wanted it, you'd probably have fewer angry travelers who would be willing to stick it out, you know.
They probably would. I bet the restaurant would get busy, too, anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, see? There you go. Now you're talking. Now, if you're going to stick them there extra days, just offer it. I mean, nobody has to take it, but if you offer it, you might get people that go from... I want to scream and pull people's heads off at the airline, too. I want to thank these guys and buy them a beer. This was great.
There you go.
Best unexpected vacation I ever had. But
well, back to the assault weapon.
Welcome to Weed Hour. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, kind of in the last throes of the legislative session as far as the hours went, Senate Democrats actually pulled back and took HB 24-1292, which was their assault weapons ban, and said, you know what, we're going to go ahead and shelve this, and we're not going to do it. I get a kick out of how the bill sponsor, you know, said, after thoughtful conversations with my colleagues, I decided that more conversations needed to take place outside of the Capitol during the last weeks of the legislative session. Oh, really? So we don't want to have an open... very transparent, right out in front of everybody, discussion. No, we're going to go back and secretly over the next year, and that's basically what they said, and scheme and plan and try to push this through with other ways, whether it be it'll probably be a regulatory thing. It may come forth in a, you know, during the summer months or during when they're off, most legislatures still meet in different committees just about in every state. And I imagine that's where their plan under the guise of, cloak and dagger tactics, that's where this will come from.
I guess I was kind of giving him. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I say it was stupid anyway. Bruin would strike it down. You know, it would be appealed. And, you know, it's just a great idea or a great example of how gun grabbers and leftists who hate our Constitution, no matter what, they will keep trying. But yet they'll tell the public that, hey, we're backing down, so don't worry. I mean, that's kind of what they're trying to say. They were getting so much heat out there, from what I understand, after looking more into this, that they just decided, you know what, we're going to pull back and let's see what happens, and we'll just come up with a different plan, and you know something's coming back at the next legislative session. So.
And they absolutely got shown that their constituents were not behind them, but they were going on their own little crusade, so...
But, you know, I guess how I saw it maybe just a little bit different, because I saw it as, okay, we're not going to stick everybody with a bad law, which means there's no law, which means they haven't won yet, rather than trying to ram it down everybody's throat at the end of the session. All right, fine. We'll have the open discussion, during which we're going to tell you exactly what needs to be happening.
Well, you got way, way more confidence in that than I do from the left.
It's Colorado. You know, they're mellow, the ones that are smoking anyway. Guns of the 701 here at K-Fire at 846. Tell North Dakota Republican leaders to pass constitutional carry now. I didn't realize North Carolina, the Tar Heel state, didn't have that, but there we are.
Yeah, they've been working on it. It basically stalled out the last session, and all because of essentially their leaders, the Senate President Pro Temp, Phil Berger. And I mean, we've seen these kind of leaders, even here in our own state, that basically block good bills for one reason or another. Sometimes it's personal. Sometimes it's a lot of heat from their big donors. You know, I've always said, I think every single politician that takes big money should have a patch right there on their suit.
Amen, brother. Sponsoring them. Just like NASCAR.
I mean, just like NASCAR. Heck, rodeo's even doing that. So, I mean, why not?
Hey, sure,
there you go. Who actually pulls the lever in the voting booth. But anyway, so I'm kind of glad to see that basically you got a guy that come up, President Paul Vallone. He's the president of the Constitutional Carry Senate deal. And he took a whole truck full of petitions that he literally had, basically, and dumped them at the steps of the pro temp Phil Berger and said, hey, look at this. We want you to start doing something. They're basically telling, listen, the gun owners gave you the majority, a supermajority in North Carolina. We now expect you to do your job and stand up for the rights of gun owners. You know, I like what he said. It's not the Bill of Needs. It's the Bill of Rights. Because the basically Phil Berger, the Senate pro temp, he essentially said, well, we don't need to do this now. We got rid of the pistol permit regulations, so this one isn't needed. Well, he's decided that they probably better look at it. And now they're calling. I didn't get a chance to follow up. Now, this happened on Tuesday and Wednesday to see exactly what happened and whether they're going to hear it or not. But he basically was putting out a call saying, hey, get a hold of these guys. Here's their numbers. And make sure that they understand where we're at in this. And, I mean, they make great points. He says North Carolina Republicans, they want to follow in step with the 29 other states that already have it. They helped create the just huge majority in the actual legislature out there for Republicans. And excuses are excuses. Quit making them and get to work. That's basically what he said. So I love it that they're going after their leadership and saying, make this happen. We put you there. You work for us. That's basically what they're saying.
Guns of the 701 and in New York. Boy, what do you think about that attempt at a ban?
Well, let me go tell you about Senator Zilnor Myrie of the Southern District of New York. He's got a new and exciting plan. He wants to make convertible pistols that make any semi-automatic pistol or rifle convert it to a machine gun. Well, 1934, we've already got that law on the books. We've already got that done. What he's trying to do is basically just limit the amount of pistol sales and whatnot. Plus, he's one of these big proponents also on making gun manufacturers responsible for what people do with guns, even if it's second, third, fourth hand, traded down the line, of course, and stolen guns, whatnot. Doesn't matter. He wants the gun manufacturers to be held guilty on this, and responsible. But the one thing about it is we already have 22,000 laws on the books, but he wants to add a few more to try to infringe upon well, as hard as it is already to own a pistol in New York. He wants to make it even tougher and then take laws that already exist and basically add new ones because, well, you know, they don't enforce the first ones, but you know, whatever it is. But, you know, at the same time in New York, they are letting gangbangers and everything else out left and right after serious crimes and robberies and whatnot, and they're getting released on a revolving door. So, yeah, so apparently he thinks the problems are the gun manufacturers and not the criminals that are actually committing the crimes.
Yeah, well, this guy, his name's Zelner Myrie. He's a senator out there from, I believe it's District 20. I mean, Gifford's campaign actually has a picture of him on their Twitter feed because they think he's a great guy. If y'all don't know, the Gifford's group, they hate guns just as much as any other gun control advocacy group. But here's a quote he said, "There is simply no excuse for protecting the worst actors in the gun industry while leaving our communities exposed, vulnerable, and without recourse." I mean, this is his thought process. He actually won the legislator of the year in 2021 from the, Michael Bloomberg has his every town group that just wants to confiscate guns. They awarded him the legislator of the year in 2021. And then, of course, he's funded. I was looking at his donors list, and the article kind of mentions that it's funded by subsidiaries, but they also fund his campaign. Moms demand confiscation. Students demand confiscation. we call it, you know, it's the action group, Jamie nicknamed them, rightfully so. And then they also fight to sue gun manufacturers for their products on a daily basis, even though we have a federal law, the Protection and Lawful Commerce Act, that protects the gun makers from that kind of basically fraudulent case. Yes, if they have a defective device or a defective product, then you can sue them like any other company, but you can't just go sue them because they make guns. And this guy just has a history of being a gun prohibitionist, and it doesn't surprise me coming out of New York.
I still can't find a spoon manufacturer to sue because...
Yeah.
If we're going to do that, I mean, you know, spoons made me fat. It's the old joke, but it still applies. Guns of the 701 here on K-Fire. And, oh, my gosh, now everybody's shooting a dog. What happened in Fort Worth?
Well, that one where is a bystander in Fort Worth, Texas, jumped into action shooting and killing a dog. There was two other dogs attacking. Bit a person and began going after an individual in the area. So he pulled his legal pistol out and he shot one of the dogs. It took a little while for the police to get there. And then, of course, the animal control responded to the scene to get the other two dogs. But he basically saved the life of one person by shooting the dog. I mean, and you know, like I said, we've talked about it. It says, you know, dogs are our friends and we love our dogs. But... you know, some people don't train their dogs. They don't teach their dogs. They don't control their dogs. And if a dog gets loose and attacks you, attacks your kids, attacks your wife, attacks your, you know, your father, your mother, you know what? You've got to do what you got to do. And thank God you got the means to do so by legally carrying a pistol and being able to protect yourself. I mean, isn't that what it's all about?
Sounds like we have some people that need to be trained.
Well, that's the other part out of it, yeah.
Well, and I will let you know, just for the disclose this, Christy Noem was not in Texas that day.
Oh, and by the way, I'm not sure, but I'm guessing, sarcasm mode on right now, the poll numbers are not real great on her being VP here.
Probably
well,
not.
Anybody was never going to be anyway. Free trip. Anybody who says that our poll numbers aren't great gets a free trip to the gravel pit.
It's like we're making another Yellowstone, only it's based in South Dakota, and instead of the train station, we have the gravel pit.
There you go.
Oh, my Lord. How quickly a person becomes a punchline, but there you are. Guns in the 701, and, of course, the... podcast and the best platform out there on iHeart. Where else? You have video and stuff. Yeah. And
we do. You catch us on all the platforms. You on CommieTube and Rumble and Fascist Book, all of them. You also catch us at our website, gunsinthe701.com. And we're live every Wednesday night, 6 p.m. Mountain, 7 p.m. Central. And we're going to have a great show for you. We got some subjects we're kind of looking at right now, but we won't... we're not going to give it away. Just tune in. We'll have a great show for you next time.
All right. You know, I got to keep something.
Don't forget, Clay. That we're now on Twitch, so all the kids can dig us.
Yes, we're now new on Twitch. I didn't even know what it was, but we are there.
When are you going to get your playlist on MySpace? That's the next one to get.
Oh, that's still operational? Wow. Hey, I have to mention something, though, out there quick. Like, we had Kelly Armstrong on, and thanks for joining us, Todd. That was great. I wasn't able to join you guys till later that evening, but it is up on our website. It is up on our YouTube and all our platforms. Go check it out, because Kelly's a strong defender of the Second Amendment, and he didn't waver one bit in Congress, and he proved that the other night. So we want to thank him for coming on.
That was a very good conversation, as a matter of fact, and I was honored to be invited to be on with it. So thank you so much, guys. Guns in the 701. Have a great weekend.
You too. Thanks, Todd.
Happy birthday to every girl.
Happy birthday, John Mayer in Bismarck, who is 39. John Fisher in Bismarck is 49. Julie Basaraba is 60 today. Bailey Mertz of Bismarck is 20. Ricky Newmiller of Wilton, 37. On Sunday, Madison Mittleiter of Bismarck will turn 21. Crystal Strand, now that I'm getting the correct spelling and not stand, Crystal and Bismarck. 25, wink, wink, wink. And here we go. Betty Wetch of Mandan 100. And Betty's great-granddaughter, Bella Wetch, is 15. Y'all are going to have to split the Gloria Jean certificate I'll get in the mail for you here from K-Fire.
Yeah, Jesse, I want to deport illegals.
Okay.
Asking the questions.
Are you ready to turn people away at the border at gunpoint?
Some aren't ready to answer.
If the answer is no, then you're not ready to solve the illegal immigration problem.
Jesse Kelly.
People will die in the desert because of the policies that we would have to enact. Are you okay with that? If not, then you don't care enough about your country to solve illegal immigration. I know that's harsh. That's life.
Weeknights, 7 till 10 on the legendary voice of the Northern Plains, K-Fire, 550, 99.7, and iHeartRadio.
Hey, Rockies fans, baseball season is here, and so is a new way to watch.